Hey, what's going on, Clipper people? Clipper
turkeys?
I don't know if you want to call them turkeys.
Anyways, it's me, William, the Opinion Updike.
And I am positively thankful, Chuck Mockler.
And we are a couple of best friends and somehow credentialed media people who cover the Clippers 5 days a week.
We did it. For this week, unfortunately. This is going to serve as our Thursday and Friday episode for Thanksgiving and whatnot.
Yes. Yeah, we are going to take a day off this week. Sorry about that. Hope everyone out there is staying safe and having a good time. If you didn't know, we are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network. We bring you Clippers news 5 days a week.
Hell yeah.
Be sure to check out the Locked On NBA podcast as well if you need some general NBA info to contextualize this. To kick things off, we sort of sent out a little prompt to people just kind of asking what they're thankful for the Clippers, for being a fan of this team.
Yeah.
Any sort of memories. So we got some great messages on that. Thank you to everybody who called in on that. So we're going to have those for you. Mm-hmm. And then in segment two, you know, we've been talking about trading Lou Will a lot. Not necessarily us. I think we've only done like one segment on it. But I think it's interesting to talk about like what that would mean for the culture of this team and as well as the optics of it for the rest of the league.
Yeah. It's definitely an interesting thing because we talked about it we should trade Lou Will for George Hill maybe. And we didn't take into effect, you know, the vibe of the whole thing. So we're going to dive into that for sure.
Definitely. Definitely. If you haven't checked that out yet, check out yesterday's episode. George Hill would check some boxes for us. Mm-hmm. But we're going to wrap things up today with Shavings, which is where we just kind of open up the drawer and see what loose ends are, you know, floating around the Clipper sphere. And there's a new signing, which is pretty interesting.
Oh, yeah.
And also a lack of signing. So we're going to talk about that as well. All that and more coming up right about now.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes, welcome to Thankful Clippers Thoughts and Messages.
Hey.
Sent out a prompt on Twitter, got a bunch of responses on Twitter, got a couple people who were willing to put their feelings on wax, which we always appreciate.
Yes.
We're going to start with some Twitter stuff. Well, first of all, what are you thankful for from the Clippers?
What am I thankful for the Clippers? I'm thankful for a roster that, while not perfect yet, is still a championship contender.
Nice.
And yeah, man, like a team that's in a spot, which is scary, but they're willing to do what it takes to take this team as far as it can go.
Yeah. I think, I'm thankful for the willingness to get out from underneath the worst owner and maybe the history of professional sports.
Yeah.
When you take into account everything. The man invented rent control in Los Angeles. Clippers show you that you can fight through stuff. And I think that's something that the fan base identifies with. We have a couple messages about how great the fan base is. So just want to give a shout out to the whole fan base. And
yeah, I'm always thankful for the fan base.
You know, thankful for, you know, the Lob City years, thankful for the Milos season,
man.
You know, it's all great. But from Twitter, Sergevica Zubaka, fantastic Twitter handle, surprised that was taken, said, thankful for Doc and Trez and services to the team. Now the Clippers are better. We got a couple responses that were along those lines. Black Sub 024, shout out to Black Sub 024. Hope he's having a good Thanksgiving. Thankful we fired the coach, cleaned up the locker room, and we'll be thankful if we don't go into the season with a bench backcourt that does not play defense again, which we've talked about on this podcast.
Yeah, we've talked about the backcourt coming off the bench as currently constructed being a little wonky. But, you know, I think with the coach thing, like, I am so thankful for Doc's tenure while he was here.
Oh, I don't know who else could have gotten through that situation like that.
But at the same time, like, going to kind of my thing about this team doing, you know, what it's going to take to get this team as far as it goes, I am thankful that despite being, like, one of the greatest human beings, we were able to kind of, like, parse out the on-court stuff that wasn't working.
Yeah.
And hopefully, like, move in a new direction.
Yeah, for sure. Casey Cherengar, I apologize if I pronounced that wrong, said, I'm 38 and I've been a Clippers fan for probably 30 years, and I'm thankful for Stephen Ballmer. The man is ultra competitive, gives to the community, isn't afraid to spend on players and the organization, and most importantly, a genuine human being.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree. Like you said, coming out of the shadow of Sterling, you couldn't really hope for a better scenario than
the stain of Sterling,
yeah,
if you will.
The stain, yeah. than someone like Steve Ballmer. Genuine fan of the team. I'm hoping that he's going to continue his sort of hands-off approach.
Agreed.
But yes, I am thankful to have an owner who, I mean, legitimately loves the team And
yeah, is a lunatic in a good way.
Yes, yes. And while it is still a business, you know, like he's willing to spend the capital that it takes to, you know, make that business succeed.
I also want to ask Casey, you're 38. You've been a Clippers fan for probably 30 years. What were you doing those first 8 years, man? What was going on? I'm sure it was a good time. And then M. Jones Vandy 3 says, thankful for the past decade because I was around for 13 years before that and there ain't much to show for it.
Wow. Yeah.
Love the longtime fan salute, you know?
Definitely. Definitely.
Things are getting better. They sure has been better.
They, yeah. I mean, the last decade, what a whirlwind for this team.
Every year's been a whirlwind with all the damn trades.
Yeah. Every year. Well, I mean, most years in Clippers history have been somewhat of a whirlwind, but it does feel like progress in this last decade. And like this went from a team that didn't have nationally televised games to, you know, a team that is a legitimate contender and has been a team worthy of talking about for, yeah, the last decade.
Yeah. Do people still hate us? Yeah. But they're always going to hate us. And those people don't really get it, you know? We're going to close out with some voicemails. We have an all-time great Clippers fan who's leaving a voicemail now. Clippers bro talking about what he's thankful for.
Listen, bro, it's me. Just wanted to call in to say I'm most thankful for being able to root for the best team in the NBA. We've got a bitchin' new coaching staff that can take turns as head coach to keep the other teams on their toes. We've got the best pairing in the NBA with Kawhi, I'm the best player Leonard, and Mr. Four Names, Paul, Klipto, Antho, George. We've got the best offseason moves, and Lucas, let me shoot this canard, and Serge, I'm gonna block ya, Ibaka. The EOD Larry Fingers, I'll bring you ringers, is gonna lead us to the promised land. Just remember, bros, it's LAC till I D-I-E. I'll hang up and listen.
I love the confidence.
Love it.
Can't be mad at the confidence. Shout out Clippers bro. Also, for some reason, the Clippers bro makes me want to tell people to listen to the Clip Set podcast, which is a fantastic podcast.
It seems like a podcast that the Clippers bro would like.
Absolutely. Shout out Clippers bro. We also, not to toot our own horns, but beep beep, you know, we got a very friendly voicemail about our show. We can't not play this. This is from, I believe her name is I_Shelly on Twitter. We've had some back and forth. This generally made me, this made us very happy to hear.
Hi, I left a message before, and I don't think it went through, so I'm resending. That's how important it is that I hope you hear this message and use this one if you decide to play it. Bottom line is I am most thankful for the podcast Locked On Clippers. You all do an excellent job. You're very committed, giving us nonstop content all throughout the year, and your enthusiasm never fails. You both are the funniest people, in my opinion, and I just wanted to say keep up the good work, and I really mean it. When we have downtime as a team, you all keep it fresh and relevant. When we have another kind of downtime, you know, perhaps the outcome of whatever our goals were as a team don't really align with reality, you also are great for the pick-me-up. So I just want to say I'm thankful for Locked On Clippers. Oh, one more thing. Thank you for your fan interaction. You all are so awesome to, like, be on Twitter during games, and you just keep it really cool. So great job. Look forward to the next year, and thanks for your commitment to always giving us a podcast to listen to daily. Appreciate
you.
Bye.
We're, I mean, like, I
come
don't know.
On. What do you say after that? Like,
I'm continually grateful for anybody who listens to this show. I mean, like I say up top, like, we're just two best friends who love the Clippers. We love talking about them every day. And it's really cool to engage with other people who are as into the team as we are.
Yeah, so we appreciate it. And then another one on Twitter, Rui Khan said, in regards to the Clippers, I'm thankful for Clipper Nation on this app. talking about Twitter. My fave part of game day, aside from winning, was coming on here and interacting with everyone. You guys are the shit. Hang loose emoji. Love the Shaka emoji.
Love it. Yeah. I mean, I couldn't agree more, man. This fan base is awesome. It's been galvanized through so
through
much
pain, through nothing but
so
pain.
Much pain. But I feel like it's at a place right now where like everybody's having a good time.
Yeah.
It's like a fan base that's, you know, like it's pretty self-aware of of itself and what it's been through.
For
and,
sure.
It's cool to be a part of.
And right now we're going to close this out with a just wonderful message from Clippers Twitter. Great. Joey Lynn has great breakdowns on YouTube. Check him out. He's just going to close it out with some another fantastic to the Clipper fan base.
What's going on, guys? It's Joey Lynn. I saw your tweet that was asking fans to call in and let you know something that they're thankful about as it pertains to the Clippers. And I just wanted to give a shout out to the fan base because that's something I've been thankful about for quite some time now. I know a lot of people will say, man, don't you wish you grew up a Lakers fan? Obviously with them having significantly more success at the start of the 2010 decade with the championship. And then obviously it's 2020 as well. But I always say no, man, because if I ended up a Lakers fan, I know that I would have never met you guys, all of the other people that I've met on Twitter, Instagram, through YouTube, whatever it is that I've been doing. I just can't thank Clipper Nation enough for accepting me and always being there for me, hyping me up no matter what it is. I just know I wouldn't find that anywhere else. So it's something I'm thankful for all the time, but especially this year with everything that has gone on both in the basketball world, but then obviously outside of the basketball world, it's been great to have that support system and know that there's a lot of people who care about me, not just as an analyst, but as a person as well. I've created some great relationships through Clipper Nation. So I just wanted to shout them out and let them know that I'm thinking about them during this time. I'm thankful for them today more than ever. So thank you guys. Much love and go Clippers.
Love it.
Love it.
Hope everyone has a great tea day. Coming up, we're going to be talking kind of the trading Lou is a bad culture move.
That's true.
But first, hey, we got to give a shout out to Built Go.
You have to.
If you're cooking on Thanksgiving and you need a boost, which I'm going to be doing.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to roast a turkey. It's very difficult. You got to check out Built Go. Helps you break through your wall, whether it's mental or physical. Built Go every day, easily taking 1.5 ounce packages. It's the best workout gel on the market. It's a 5-hour energy without the same crash feeling. Plus, it's natural, so it's better for the body. It's like drinking a Monster energy drink with a third of the caffeine and better results. There's 3 delicious flavors, peanut butter honey, chocolate coconut, and chocolate mint. Chocolate mint's pretty good. Built Go combines energy gel with collagen protein. Collagen protein is fast absorbing, gets in your system quick. Plus, it's easy on the stomach. Built Go is loaded with good stuff to ignite my work, like beta-alanine, honey, and a kick of caffeine, just a little bit. If you visit BuiltGo.com and use promo code LOCKED, all cap letters, you'll get 30% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED for 30% off at BuiltGo.com. Let's go.
Okay, so we're back, and we're talking about trading Lou Will. Obviously, it's something that's been floated around a lot. He is an asset. It is a very tradable contract. But the question we're wondering is, is that a bad culture move? What does that do to the locker room and the perception of the Clippers?
It's a lot to kind of take in because on yesterday's episode, I was pretty caught up and just like, what do we need to fill this roster out to have a better shot at a championship than last season?
If you're looking at the stat sheets or like, you know, where there are holes, certainly in the construction of this roster, the backcourt did not get any better defensively with the Luke Kennard signing,
yeah,
obviously. And, you know, the loss of Magruder, who, you know, when healthy could be a, you know, a passable defender, pretty decent
sure.
defender. So, yeah, it's really difficult because Lou Will is one of those dudes. Shout out people we're thankful for. Lou Will is somebody
who... Oh, my
who,
God, yeah. Lou Will's done a lot for the Clippers brand as a whole and just making games fun.
Yeah, who has kind of set the tone for what this team was. And I do think he was still we needed him during the regular season.
Yeah. Needed him in the 42-40 season, needed him in the 48-win season. Like,
yes. Yeah. So he has been such a big part of getting this team to where it is right now. But that being said, I mean, like, it's difficult to balance those things, right?
When he's talked about I mean, he's stated in an interview he wants to retire a Clipper, says he's had his best year as a Clipper, like this is the last stop kind of stuff. He also said he's not playing for anybody else like after this role in one specific interview. So like, and he said it's his last ride. I mean, that's a that's going to hurt if that trade goes through.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
It's going to hurt the culture of the team, too.
Yes.
And I think I don't think hurt as in like players are going to be like, I can't believe you traded Lou Will. It's just going to be a big enough loss.
Yeah.
That it's hard to overcome, you know,
especially if it's like the trade that we entertained the other day with George Hill.
Where it's just kind of like a depth trade. It's not even necessarily for, it's not a trade where you're like, wow, they traded Lou Will, but they did get a very good, you know, they packaged him and they also got a very good X player in there as well. Yeah. Like it's a depth move. There's a great clip, of Bill Simmons realizing the Celtics treating players like assets and not people is bad, which, whoa, what? Man, thankfully Bill Simmons can get some enlightenment on the player empowerment era. but would the Clips be in danger of this maybe if they traded Lou Will?
I don't know, man. I think that it's difficult to say. I think that Lou Will, to a certain extent, has to be a draw for free agents. As guys you would like to play with as a teammate.
I mean, in terms of young guys too, who's a better vet?
Yeah.
Who's been through blockbuster trade, who knows how to, who may, you know, when he came to the Clippers, he thought he was done. He told Doc, he was like, I'm not playing defense, I'm not lifting weights.
Yeah.
He kind of just thought he was done. Like there's not a lot of better vets out there to have around young guys.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and if we were to move him on to OKC for George Hill, it'd be cool that he'd be back with Shea, but I can't imagine that being a destination that he would be thrilled with.
What the hell is Lou Williams going to do in Oklahoma City?
Yeah, I don't know.
He's going from Houston to LA to Oklahoma City.
He's a little Okie from Muskogee.
what are you doing? Like, no, I mean, it would, you know, and maybe he would, you know, just ride out his contract to if he were to get moved to OKC to play with Shea because there's that familiarity there and stuff like that. But now that you mentioned Shea was talked about as a cornerstone.
I know, but that's like, dude.
But I know, but that's that thing. Like, that just adds to the reputation. Not, that trade itself didn't, like,
look,
make me think the Clippers didn't care about players. But the Lou thing, when you're like, wow, we had the cornerstone we talked about as a cornerstone, then we moved Lou. It's this thing where, if you're a player, I could see the perception a little being like, huh.
Look, man, the way I see it is Kawhi is what? The top three player in this league?
Easy.
And it's like the same thing as the LeBron thing. It's hard because you have to let good guys go if the fit isn't right.
Yeah.
The thing is like windows in the NBA to win a championship are not large.
Is it one season?
I think you have,
is it like one and a half? Or like?
I think you have 2 to 3 seasons depending on your roster construction and where you're at with the salary cap.
Yeah.
You know, and also the age disparity between your stars and the rest of the roster.
Yeah.
Someone brought up an interesting point about how that was kind of an issue, even with Lob City, with the Chris Paul thing, that like he was kind of on a different timeline age-wise
very
from where
much so.
Kind of everyone else was.
Yeah.
So yeah, these are narrow things, and I think that it's really hard, but you have to have people in the front office who are willing to put the right kind of talent around those guys and hopefully, you know, extend that window as long as you can.
Speaking of windows, what's the Clippers window right now in your head?
Well, I mean, that's really going to depend on what happens after, you
this
know,
season.
Next free agency, obviously, because, you know, we could be looking at, man, we could be looking at some rough times. But
Will has like a forlorn look. He's like a dude.
But for like right now, you know, it's this season needs to be a strong push. And I don't think it's over if we don't win a championship. But I mean, we have to make a compelling argument for these guys to stay.
Yeah, for sure.
And that means winning. Like it literally doesn't mean anything else. Yeah.
So when it comes to the Lou Will trade, it's weird to think about, right? Because you're like, we might have to trade Lou Williams, mm-hmm. which would hurt and be pretty difficult. Does it matter who it's for? You know what I'm saying? Like in the context of the pain of doing the trade, or is it just going to hurt no matter what?
it's going to hurt no matter what. And the thing is like, I mean, you're talking about $8 million unless you package him with somebody else. I mean, that's, you know, it's not like necessarily a contract that's going to like knock your socks off.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, there is something to be said about winning on the margins.
For sure.
You know, we can't really feasibly get another max guy. We barely have a full roster right now.
Please stop sending us trade machine ideas where we get another max guy and trade out four players. We can't do it.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously it's going to hurt. But, you know, it's one of those things. It's if you can improve on the margins, I think you have to do it, man.
Yeah. Reminds me of what's the movie where they make the dog go away? Where he's like, go on, get. Like, it's like real sad. They catch a wolf or something.
Isn't Harry and the Hendersons a thing? Where like,
yeah, Harry and the Hendersons.
It's not a dog.
It would feel like that. Well, I know it's obviously, you know, a mythical, well, maybe not mythical, Northwestern beast.
Do we believe in Bigfoot on this podcast?
100%.
Oh, I think 100%.
It was a North American primate is what it's not Bigfoot. It was a North American primate.
It's crazy in the Northwest. It's very dense.
It's spooky.
They still haven't found DB Cooper's body.
No,
you're
man.
Telling me that there couldn't be some primates out there? Anyways, I digress.
Very true. But it's going to be like Harry and the Hendersons where it's like, we got to do this, but I don't want to do it. Like, goddamn. That's going to be a tough pod if that happens. That's going to be a tough pod. Let us know what you think. Let us know how you'd feel if we traded Lou Will. It would hurt, definitely. I don't know anyone who'd be happy about it, you know. Coming up, we're going to be talking new Clipper, maybe, Kai Bowman, as well as the status of the roster.
All right. So we're back with Shavings. And we got a new guy, former Warrior Kai Bowman.
Yes.
Got a camp invite from the Clippers. He's kind of an interesting guy. Obviously, young dude, only one NBA season under his belt, but he has some highlight blocks.
Locked up Russell Westbrook for that one game, which was cool to see.
Yeah, doesn't like the per 100 defensive stats don't trump out at you? Obviously, he was on a terrible team.
Yeah.
Which is so funny that we're saying that about the Warriors.
Yeah, right?
Doesn't that feel like, wow,
what a garbage team
that
was.
Doesn't that feel insane?
Yeah. But, like, so Dan Wyke said scouts like his on-ball defense a lot, which is nice. You know, that clip of him locking up Westbrook, he's with Westbrook step by step. So it seems like a guy who, when he's locked in terms of one-on-one defense, would be great. And, you know, again, we're talking about a guy who's competing for a spot, right? Like, part of me thinks he was brought in to motivate other players.
Yeah.
To be like, shit, you know, Jay Scrubb is like, I got to compete with Kai Bowman. This guy's been here before.
Definitely.
He's going to bring the best out of those guys. He started last season on a two-way contract with Golden State and eventually had his deal upped to non-guaranteed three-year contract. So Golden State liked him.
Yeah.
Which is an organization that...
Well, he was originally on a two-way. They had to have him play too many games, obviously, with the staff injury. So they had to offer him the non-guaranteed.
He was waived a few days ago by the Warriors. But the Warriors are another system where I'm kind of like, if you're coming out of the Warriors system, I'm not mad at that, you know, from a, like, you could be a good serviceable player perspective.
Definitely. And, like, I mean, they're just full at the guard spot. You know, it makes sense. They've got other young guys they're trying to develop as well. Kai Bowman, I think, could be an interesting get. I'm curious to see what his defense looks like at a higher level, you know, like on a different team, not where like you're the only passable defender.
Yeah. Very good
so
point.
So I'm curious to see what that looks like, but I think it's an interesting add. I don't know what it says for the future of Lou Will, but it does offer some
competition. Like, it's just good to get more guards there to really see who's trying to be a guard for the Clips.
Definitely. And it does, you know, putting him next to Luke Kennard, it does make the defense better. Obviously, Kai Bowman has to get a better three-point shot. He's like 30%. But he is taking, I mean, just under three a game, like 2.5 a game nearly. So I think that is something that could be tweaked a little bit to improve that, you know, 35, 36 range, which would be much more passable. But it's interesting. I'm curious to see how it pans out. Once again, I mean, I'm still worried about wing depth. I haven't.
Yeah, I want to see some small forwards signed.
Yeah. I'm hoping to get another former Warrior on this team. Glenn Robinson, Trace.
Oh, man, we would like that. Bowman averaged 7-3-3 for the Dubs. People on Twitter were talking about how he seems to dribble in congestion well.
He's like floater. One of the funniest. He is like one of the funniest, like in transition behind the backs. It's like it's fun, is I guess why I say fun. like it's fun. It has that vibe of dude shitting on someone at the Y. Because it's not
we
like,
need more guys like that.
It's not like an elite step or anything, but it's just like, oh, huh?
Yeah, it's like
so
when you're playing against the old guy who's like, oh, I got one for you. He just blows by you with some dumb move. Also, a point that I think helps Kai Bowman, his nickname, this was brought to us by attention by a Twitter user, is the first 48 because he catches bodies.
Okay.
Have you ever watched the first 48?
Yeah, it's
terrifying.
Shows like that fuck me up.
Pretty terrifying.
I feel like it just goes to talk about how fucked up the police system is.
Very true. But hey, it's just his nickname, so that'd be good. I'm excited to see him and Jay Scrub going at it. I don't know if we're going to see footage of them, of like, because what I picture this is Kai Bowman is going to be guarding Jay Scrub in camp.
Yeah.
You bring in the guy who was the second or first best JUCO player, and you put him against a guy who's played good defense at the NBA level in training camp. And you're like, what can you do against this?
Totally.
Like,
yeah.
Because, you know, I mean, Scrub is going to be, at best, a fringe rotation player for the Clippers next season. So put him against a guy who would
How many fringes?
Fringe, like six. you're putting him against a guy who would be on the same lineup he would play against in an NBA game, right? Yeah, like, yeah. So I like this for Jay Scrub. I think this is a good person to bring in to compete.
Kai Bowman also... good hair, good haircut.
Really good hair.
Keeps a kind of a bleach top, tight sides.
Have we seen Jay Scrubs cut yet?
I have not.
I assume the waves are pretty good. I assume it's making some people seasick out there. And then we're going to close out, you know, less than a week till training camp when you listen to this. No signings announced yet.
Yeah, so
like
this-
no official, not a big deal or kind of weird.
Well, it's so funny to me. Windhorse actually brought up on his podcast. He's like, what is taking so long with some of these? Not specifically referencing the Clippers, but it's like, are people still signing papers? Like, do they not have DocuSign?
That's a very good point, because honestly, they might not, dude.
The only person, and you can correct me on Twitter if I'm wrong, but the only person I've seen not signing physical papers was Davis Bertans, who had the iPad out. And it's like,
that is so funny, dude.
But yeah, I don't think it's anything to worry about in any sort of serious way. It's just another one of those weird ass things piled onto a weird ass season. But I think I have supreme confidence that those are going to get figured out. And hopefully, you know, we're going to still be making at least another addition to this team.
Yeah, it's just, maybe it is. And, you know, it's pandemic, which slows stuff down.
Yeah.
In general, I guess.
I don't know. I've been seeing a lot of paper, and I just don't get the point, especially given everything going on.
How many jobs get cut if all NBA contracts went digital? People would be losing their jobs.
I don't think so.
There's someone who definitely is the old filing lady. Who's like, I know where that contract is. Like that old, like, you know, like a librarian who's like, that's right over there. Like there's someone who's like,
I don't
that
think so, dude. I don't think they're physically kept somewhere. I think they're digitized.
If people are signing papers.
I think they're digitized. I don't know. Maybe I could be wrong.
So someone who digitizes them is losing their job.
I'm imagining the woman from Ghostbusters in the library.
With the big glass. I'm imagining the lady from Monsters, Inc. who's like, Wazowski.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But just on this is just completely out of left field, but NBA still uses too much paper.
If
you're in the press room, they're printing out the physical stats,
thousands of pages
every quarter.
Yeah,
and then there's a
pregame book,
and then there's a pregame book. There's a next opponent book. There's a lot of stuff going on there, and I love it. I love having it. I even do love physically thumbing through it. But part of me wonders if all that paper is necessary.
I mean, I've made some pretty tight paper mache floats, so I think it's pretty worth it.
That's fair.
We have one more thankful thing to put out. Bryn at SoCal BEE put this out. She said, I am thankful that we have a winning owner who actually cares about the franchise. I'm thankful for all of my Clipper Nation fam. We cut up on this app so much in regards to Twitter, so I can just imagine once we all get together how much fun we would have. I love you all. What a way to end the pod. We hope everyone has a wonderful holiday weekend. Y'all are great.
Y'all are great. We'll be back at you on Monday.
Absolutely. Talking freshies, trade rumor, whatever else.
If anything crazy happens.
Oh, my God.
We might do an emergency.
I'm trying to eat turkey and be hungover this weekend. That's all I'm trying to do. Thank you again so much. We hope everyone's staying safe. We hope everyone in Clipper Nation has a wonderful holiday. Whatever you're doing, if you're doing turkey, great. If you're doing rotisserie chicken, also good because it's kind of a smaller gathering than usual. We hope you got King's Hawaiian rolls, of course. Listen to Hollinger and Duncan if you want to be an intelligent NBA fan. Yeah, we hope everyone is safe, all that good stuff. I have been positive, Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. We really appreciate you.